Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. As you can see, I am joined by Claire Bond today. Maybe you know Claire, maybe you don't, but I have a feeling after today's episode, you're absolutely going to want to connect with her on LinkedIn because she can not only help you and your marketing activities, but help you personally. And that's what we're going to talk about today is personal branding. Claire, how are you?
Thank you so much for being here, David. I'm great.
I want you to kick things off. Grab that little magic eight ball behind you. Will you grab it? How far really? Away is it? Because I want to know, it says, yeah. Is today's going to be a good episode? That's my question.
Let's see.
Let's see what the magic eight ball says.
It says reply hazy, try again.
Oh my gosh. Well, we'll let you guys decide. Hey, if you are not watching her shake the little magic eight ball, that means you're probably not on the YouTube channel. Just want to make sure that you guys know that besides having the podcast, we also put the episodes up on Demand Gen TV, which the fastest way to get there is just demandgen.tv. Good to have you all, guys. Joining us today, like I said, for a talk about personal branding. Claire, I'm so glad that we found each other online. Yes. And I enjoyed our conversation. It was just the information you share with me, which we're going to repeat some of that today, was super helpful and very, very thought-provoking. So can I start with asking you a question?
Yes.
How'd you get into personal branding? I mean, how did that become your thing?
Well, I guess it kind of goes back to kind of my whole story of how I got here. I did marketing and branding for Fortune 500 companies, and I decided I wanted to switch things up and go into acting. So I started doing that, and I learned that I had to essentially brand myself to get jobs, to get the eyes of casting directors and have them kind of understand who I was so that they could bring me in for an audition. And I started basically people that I was seeing, other actors and models were saying, hey, can you do that for me? So I started helping them with their websites and social media and all that kind of stuff. And then about 10 years ago, I started a company called Online Profile Pros, where we help build people's personal brand for online dating and LinkedIn. And in 2019, I was actually on David Calacanis's podcast talking about Online Profile Pros looking for funding. And he basically said, you know what, Claire, I think you need to personally brand, you know, executives and entrepreneurs. And my very first client was an angel investor. So that is kind of the story. I tried to do it as short as possible. But yeah, that's essentially how all of this came to be.
Well, it's a great topic. And what's interesting is I find, you know, doing the podcast for many years now, that sometimes my guests, certainly not you, but sometimes my guests in marketing have a difficult time talking about themselves and about their journey. Yeah. And I think if they struggle with it on a podcast, they could struggle with how to have an online persona. So what I really want to do today is really get tactical on some of the things that people should be doing from a personal branding perspective. I'm going to pull up LinkedIn on my screen just really quick. Okay. And I'm just going to throw like a couple things out to you and see what you would recommend to this person. So, you know, it's kind of like, is this good or is it not good? Here's what Joe says, Joe Payne, who I know very well. He's the present CEO of Code 42. He writes, when a national magazine names you one of the best places to work in the USA, it's a good day. And that's, I don't have to read the rest of the post, but there's a link to, do you want to work in a challenging yet rewarding environment? So he's recruiting as a CEO. He's looking for more people to join his team, and he's calling the company out as one of the best places to work in the USA. So my question to you, let me bring you back on the screen. So my question to you is, you always have a recommendation. It's the B-R-A-G word.
Yeah.
Is that bragging? Is it an appropriate form of bragging? Is it in the context of saying, we're a great place to work, and we'd like you to come work here? What are your thoughts?
You know, I think a better way to maybe formulate the caption essentially that would follow that link would be what he did to make it the great place to work. Like what was it that, you know, that's why I did these things and I've constantly been working for X amount of years to make this happen. And I'm so glad that we've been recognized. I think it's not a story. You're basically saying, you know, we've been recognized. I'm so thrilled. And people will see like, yay, and they'll keep going. But if you actually had a story behind it, mm-hmm. why it's so important, just saying, you know, I've really been working on it. I listen to, people that we, you know, that work for me. We did some, you know, research and we started talking to people. What was the biggest thing that they wanted more of? What did they want? What did they want less of? I think mm-hmm. the story is missing essentially. Yeah. And so the storytelling is how to do it.
Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Canva. Mm-hmm. I made a video here on Demand Gen TV on the YouTube channel about how to post pictures using Canva to LinkedIn. So if you guys are not using Canva and creating pictures in a very simple way, but very beautiful aesthetic way, mm-hmm. check out that video. Certainly check out Canva. Let's start with the why, though. Why on personal branding? You know, Joe has a very strong personal brand within the community that Joe is in. A lot of people know Joe from his days back being CEO of Eloqua, and he's built up, I'm sure, a pretty good following. But you work with executives, and you know, whether mm-hmm. the advice you're giving is to a C-level executive or anyone else, why do personal branding? Let's start there, because it seems obvious to me about audience building and to serve mm-hmm. other people. What's your perspective on why even focus on it?
Because your personal brand will magnetize opportunities to you that you don't even know are there. And that's why. Essentially sharing information and helping people. So if you think about what a CEO knows that they could help a future CEO, someone that is basically maybe a startup person, or there's so many ways that you can essentially help people and share content and gain that following even further than just, you know, here's who I am and here's kind of some of the stuff that I did, you should follow me. Mm-hmm. Instead, kind of turn it around and say, you know what? I want to actually help and use my platform to mentor. That's going to gain a following. And I think that, you know, if you're just, but it could also help your business get more, you know, help you get more business, obviously, depending on who your clients are and things like that. But mm-hmm. I mean, it came from SAP, and a lot of the CXOs were kind of cult of personality type people. Like mm-hmm. we had the Sapphire conference and they had keynote speaking, you know, engagements and everyone wanted to attend because they wanted to hear what like Hasso Plattner had to say or whoever. Like, yeah. And I think that's ultimately done because you are sharing your why, you are sharing stories, you are sharing that you can do it too. You're sharing how using this platform or software or whatever it is can help your day-to-day job. Like it's just sharing stories and storytelling instead of basically saying, here I am. And, oh, look, I got another award. Or, oh, look, I was in another publication. It's right. just really kind of thinking of sharing the exact same information, just in a way that engages people and they want to learn more.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the whole thing. Most people will just share something and be like, look, yay, I did it. Yeah. Instead of saying, here's my tip, how I did it.
Right.
You could do it too.
Yeah. I look at the youth these days, and I'm going to put youth, I'm only going to go far as like anyone 21 years and older. Okay. Because okay. you know, anyone who's younger than that and online, they may be doing it for other reasons. But I think when you're in your 20s and you're doing personal branding, or I'm going to call it even content creation, mm-hmm. you're probably working somewhere. And therefore, right. your personal brand is not just connected to you and your youth and your family and friends, but probably mm-hmm. directly or indirectly connected to your work. Now, I find that mm-hmm. younger people, they're really good with social media, getting online for the most part. And mm-hmm. yet, if you're in your career, and I could dive into LinkedIn all day with you, I see people who post very regularly and do a really good job mm-hmm. from a personal branding perspective. And then, quote, I don't see, meaning that they're not there. A lot of people have incredible talent, knowledge, and yeah. expertise that are not online.
Right.
Why don't people, is it a certain persona that likes to inform and educate that will create this content, or there, what are the drivers between what separates someone who is active in whether it's professional or non-professional social media and doing personal branding right. versus someone who's not?
I saw this on Twitter and I posted kind of like a something sort of along the same lines. in a kind of a different way. But anyway, basically it was that successful people don't have time to be sitting there talking about themselves and all the things that they've done. They're working. And that's essentially why ultimately people will hire somebody to help them, because they don't have the time.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't do all of my social media.
Oh my goodness, I don't. Really?
Oh my God. Yes. My team helps me. So that's ultimately one of the biggest things, is that they don't have enough bandwidth, because we don't, once mm-hmm. we're running our businesses, there's so much stuff that you have to do in your day just to, you know, manage your team. Right. So I think that's one of the biggest things, is that they don't get help when mm-hmm. they need it. Mm-hmm. And the next thing is, I think a lot of times people just, they feel like it is bragging. They feel they don't do it right. They see what other people are doing and they see how they're doing it wrong. They don't understand that you can use Canva. There's so many tools that are available to make everything so much easier. Right. I mean, I can't even imagine having to dig into like Photoshop to have to create graphics.
Yeah.
So there are so many things that you can do now to make it easier. You can schedule your posts. So there's so many things you can do to make it easier, but most people don't know they exist.
Mm-hmm.
And why would they? I mean, that's like, you know, a lot of marketing people know, but not a lot of executives and other people know that.
Yep. Are you seeing, let's talk about gender. Do you see mm-hmm. a balance or imbalance in between people that are doing personal branding, one gender or another?
I mean, from a client perspective, most of my clients happen to be men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do see a fair amount of people that are out there that are, you know, talking about it. I don't think there are as many women out there kind of talking about what they're doing and sharing information. I will say that I see more of this kind of like bragging and than anything else. I see this people that are kind of doing it wrong, and maybe they don't get the best kind of feedback, so they mm-hmm. stop.
Do you think it is something either biological or cultural that is a difference between having more men and more, sounds like you're saying more men bragging as a style?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like from a perspective of kind of what's acceptable, mm-hmm. it's more acceptable for men to brag, right? Than it is for women. Women just, they shy away from it. We're taught not to,
mm-hmm.
And I think that could be part of it, mm-hmm. but I think that if you really change your perspective and it's not bragging, you're literally helping people. So,
yeah.
so turn it on its head, share content that people can find, that people will find useful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was actually just had I'm part of a networking group for women. And I had a you know, Zoom call with one of the members, and we were talking, and basically she was like, you know, how do I, like, what are some tips? And I just go, you have to find a way, because she's a designer, to share information about how you kind of distilled down how you created this logo. And maybe help people kind of like, so they can try to be creative or whatever it is, but you have to just share information,
yeah,
essentially with abandon.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to become your customer. Not everyone's going to like you,
right?
But the only way people actually know that you know what you're talking about,
yeah,
is if you share that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so. Good point. As a woman, I know the answer, but you don't feel that it should be dominated by men. You feel that women no. should have just as much of a voice. I would hope so. As a father of yeah. two daughters, I certainly feel that way. I would hope you would feel that way. And I think that there, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's testosterone or if it's cultural or whatever it is,
yeah.
but I think the message is, it doesn't matter what your gender is, that personal branding yeah. is important. And maybe actually, more important than a lot of people realize. Let's talk about that. I'm not really on Facebook anymore. I was very mm-hmm. active when my kids were growing up, because I felt, you know, with my community of friends, we like sharing pictures of different things that were going on and doing that. And I'd also use it as a personal scrapbook. But I've always been very committed to LinkedIn, like mm-hmm. I am with the podcast, like I am with the YouTube channel, to getting content out there. I want your content to be out there, not just my content, but I want yours. And so I'll give you something as an example that I struggled with. So we can do some real mm-hmm. work here on the episode. This okay. morning I got an email from Podbean and they were congratulating me for getting 100,000 downloads of the podcast, which is a significant number of downloads
awesome.
Of a
Congrats.
Podcast. Crazy, right? And I've yeah. seen a lot of YouTubers. I follow Peter McKinnon. I used to follow Casey Neistat and a lot of YouTubers, and they would get from YouTube, from Google, you know, the silver or the gold or the diamond mm-hmm. Emblem of the YouTube play button as in a recognition for the number of subscribers that they have. And they would hang mm-hmm. it up and do an episode of it. I was not comfortable taking that graphic this morning and posting on LinkedIn that I'd reached that milestone for the reason mm-hmm. you said, that it's that it feels like it's bragging. It's like, look at us. We have this many downloads of our podcast. At the same time, Claire, that is a data point, a proof point of the number of people that are listening to the podcast and ideally getting value from it and the reach mm-hmm. and exposure that we have, which is beneficial. What are your thoughts? So yeah, go ahead. You got
a question. So your question, how long ago did you start?
2016.
Okay. So you could show a photo or whatever it is and just say, when I started the podcast 4 years ago, I never imagined I'd have, 100,000 downloads. And then you can go into kind of your story. That's a way of sharing it.
Yeah. But do you think there's value in sharing the metric from a personal branding perspective?
It's good because it's proof, proof that you of what you're doing mm-hmm. and the social proof is very valuable, mm-hmm. but if you share it in a story, it's inspirational.
Putting in the context. For me, I'd want to talk about how the first episode that I did was really, I think it was with John Miller, and it was really such an experience of like, do I ask a lot of questions or do I provide content myself? And that's something I think I've talked with you about, finding that balance mm-hmm. of providing content, but also asking you questions. I like it.
So I'll
think about it.
Yeah. Well, just because I follow, I've connected people on LinkedIn that are like, TED speakers and some of these things. And they say, before I did my first, TED conference, these are the things that I had to do before I could do that. And they talk about like how many times they prepared their speech, so they're constantly saying, this is what I did. And they're saying it over and over in multiple ways, but they're sharing something that I'm like, wow, okay, that's interesting.
Taking that advice, then the story is not having 100,000 downloads. It's how did you get there? Give someone else who's maybe thinking about creating a podcast the path to getting there. One of my favorite podcasts that I've done is with Michelle Killebrew, who's a phenomenal client at PwC, and she came and talked on conquering her fear of public speaking and doing a TED presentation. It was a great episode. Mm-hmm. What is the number one reason that people don't, or what do they struggle with the most, that they're not putting that content out there? What advice would you give to somebody to get started?
I get like asked a lot of this stuff, and to me, I just kind of go, do this, and mm-hmm. it comes off the top of my head, but I'm constantly in it with clients and all different, areas of expertise. And I think that for me, it's easy. Mm-hmm. And for them, they're like, I have no idea. It's like a roadblock. And I think that I was definitely in that space. Like I started out like I'm an influencer on Instagram, or I was always posting stuff about food and lifestyle. Yeah. And you get to this point where you're just like, I don't know what else to share.
Yeah.
I'm so done. And I think for me, having clients now in all of these different industries, I'm always just kind of thinking of things. Oh, this would be cool. Mm-hmm. And having conversations and quite frankly, networking, doing podcasts, like talking to other people really, really helps come, get these ideas in your head.
Yeah.
So that for me helps with ideas. Yep. I can't even tell you, just like that women networking group I told you that I was in, getting on a Zoom, and I don't need anything except sometimes just like chatting with somebody and like, oh my God, you know what? I know somebody, I'm going to connect you with them and they might do the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, you know what? I kind of came up on this roadblock. What do you think? Mm-hmm. network, talk to people, do it via Zoom, do coffee meetings. You can, things will happen during a meeting with somebody and you'll be like, you know what? That's a good Instagram post, or that's a good, you know, thing to do a video on YouTube or LinkedIn or whatever it is.
Right.
So conversations.
My whole approach, Justin knows this, shout out to Justin who produces Demand Gen Radio and Demand Gen TV and a bunch of marketing. He and I, we created a mind map and we put in the middle of the mind map, you know, what our ultimate goal is, which is is to advance people's careers. We want to educate primarily marketers, but we're not just marketing, but primarily marketers and help them advance their careers. And so off that middle globe, we put branches, which is what technologies they could use, what recipes they should learn and know how, so methodologies. And so we built a mind map of the different areas of what would help someone advance their career, thus you and I together, which is I want to help people from a personal branding perspective create more visibility for their knowledge and expertise. So it all centers, it comes back to that middle thing. Now, will we try different things and mix it up on the podcast and maybe move outside of that normal zone? Sure, to see, you know, maybe there's an interest there, maybe something we didn't think about, but we try to center it to that. Let's talk about, I'm going to pull up another screen. Okay, so Claire, I'm pulling up my screen and I'm going to go to Daryl Alfonso. Daryl, shout out to you. Daryl is marketing operations at Amazon. He's been on the podcast as well. He and I converse. He's pretty active on LinkedIn. And so I'm going to just pull up his activity.
Okay.
But what he does is he posts a lot of cartoons or what I would almost classify as memes. And he uses LinkedIn as a way to entertain as well as educate. So he has, this is marketing ops life told in stock photos. So he goes and gets stock photography images he doesn't have to make. And he puts some content to it. And he makes it fun and entertaining. And he does this on a regular basis. You'll notice that what he does is he creates memes every single week or at a frequency. And he's grabbing stock photography and putting in his own words and thoughts and having fun with the role in marketing operations. And I noticed him start doing this some time ago. Another person on LinkedIn that I've noticed posts a lot about careers is Sarah McNamara. Now, Sarah's a Pardot specialist and really passionate about marketing and marketing operations. And she's been talking a lot about life at an agency, life on the client side, and the market for different positions. And she clearly has a following for people that are maybe thinking about career changes and stuff like that. They don't have to do this stuff. There's no reason for them to create this content. And for people listening who are not creating content on LinkedIn, talk to some people feeling like that's a complete waste of time. Why should I do that? What is it? How is it going to benefit me or anyone else?
Well, I mean, if you really think about, like, I'm looking at what Daryl is posting. I mean, he's giving people tips. You're like, oh, I may have done that. I shouldn't do that. That's helpful. And maybe down the road, that person's going to have opportunity and they're going, you know what, this guy, Daryl, I'm connected to him on LinkedIn. Don't really know him, but maybe I could introduce him to so-and-so or whatever, because I think there could be some synergy. It's the opportunities that come from essentially that kindness of the gift that you've given to somebody and essentially a stranger. So that's ultimately why it's you've given a gift and there's some sort of, you know, people feel like they need to give something back to you. And ultimately, you know, sharing information that you've learned in your line of work with other people to help them with their line of work, but you never know what opportunity will come, you know, Daryl's way. Someone may say, you know what, I want you, you know, your marketing operations, I want you to be the CMO at this company. Come and talk to me. You just really just don't know what kind of opportunities are out there. And the things that you learn in your day-to-day world can be helpful to somebody else. So, and that's just really it. Otherwise it literally just sits there and just like, oh, well, it just doesn't mean anything. But if you have a conversation with somebody and somebody found it useful, that's the type of stuff that you can share on LinkedIn and help somebody else. So just think about it. You're helping somebody else. And you know, a lot of times opportunities come out of that. You don't even know. It could be, hey, you know what? I need a marketing person to come and speak at this event. I see the stuff that you share on LinkedIn. Can you share that kind of thing?
You don't know where it's going to go. But his passion is marketing operations, and he establishes himself, even though he's using humor, he establishes himself as a thought leader in marketing operations because he can make humor in light of the job. Let's talk about, I'll link to your article that was on the blog about what you should be doing on your LinkedIn profile. Let's start off with the photo, okay?
Yeah.
One of the things, you know, as marketer to marketer, one of the things I noticed that you do on your website is how you show up in a picture or live. You are personal branding. You wear similar attire, similar outfits. You definitely, whether you intentionally did a photo shoot or not, you've looked at your photos and say, how can I show up consistently the same way? Because if the photos are really, really different, then you're robbing someone of that imagery, the neuron in their brain that stores. I mean, people don't necessarily know that. They're like, in your brain, it's almost like iPhoto. There's a little place where I store Claire Bond. And that neuron has all of the pictures I have of you. So how you're showing up right now with your eyes right there in a third of the screen, because you've thought a lot about where to put your camera, where your photos are of yourself, you're all very, it's very consistent. It's intentional. Someone may not think about that, but I certainly know it and appreciate it.
Thank you.
How important is the LinkedIn photo for engagement, do you think? Because I see so many people wear like sunglasses or have really crappy photos. It's like a sunglass is the least way to recognize you, unless you're Casey Neistat and you wear the same pair of sunglasses every single day. But for the most part, how important is that?
You want to see people's eyes. I mean, really, if you want, so what's, cause you were saying how, like, I'm very consistent with how I show up all the time.
Yeah.
That's comes from my acting background, because if a casting director called me in, based on my headshot and I showed up looking completely different, I'm not going to get the job. So, you know, that's like really, you just need to think about how you show up, like show up online with everything that you're doing as you would in person, make sure that they're consistent, professional, buttoned up. And with your photo, you want people to say, we want it to be recognizable. You want people to see your face. Just think about think about the aesthetic. I mean, I see a lot of people, what they do is go in camera or whatever, they'll knock out the background and they'll put a bright color. So again, they stand out. If you don't have like a, you know, cool background or something, just do that.
Yeah. Long form content or short form content? If you give someone recommendations, and of course, maybe the right answer is a mix, a bit of both, but in general, what should people be doing? Let's stick to LinkedIn.
I would say both, like you said, but think about this. If you go to my blog, like you were talking about the story on LinkedIn, all of my blogs are at least 2,000 words. Think about, that's a lot of words. You're never going to put that into like LinkedIn unless you do a pulse. But think about how you can take bite-sized snippets of that one blog and share it. So I think getting something out there long form, that you can then take little bits and share. That's the way to go. That's what I tell my clients that you know, are more of the DIY and people that kind of want, that don't have time, because we never have time. Right. That's how you do it.
So you might have two pictures and say this or this, which is better, and then have a link to your article, which covers that in greater depth. What about frequency? Like thoughts around, taking that first step is super hard, right? That's, people have to get over that if they haven't. But frequency matters. And I'm curious to get your recommendations on frequency for people.
A lot of times people say, I've done, you know, because we, a lot of our clients, well, all of them are on LinkedIn. That's one of their main hubs.
Yeah.
So the amount of time, you don't want to do too much and you don't want to do too little. So too much is kind of like more than 30 posts a month. So you don't really want to bombard the platform like LinkedIn more than once a day, but on like Twitter, you want to do like 5-7, like you want to bombard the platform because it just scrolls down and no one will ever find it again. But with more kind of an algorithmic platform like LinkedIn and some of these others, you know, Instagram, things like that, you have to kind of be, you have to be consistent, but you can't do too much. Otherwise you'll get penalized. So no more than once a day. And I would say that, you know, a good rule of thumb is maybe once a day during the week. But if you can't do that, then do what you can, you know, stick to things that have high engagement, like a poll, or just try to stick to things that have engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, using imagery, like you said, with Daryl, like using imagery that makes people kind of stop the scroll.
Imagery is huge. I mean, I know it sounds so, it's because I want to underscore it right now. I have created posts from pictures on Canva that have blown up with just a good photo versus, you know, a paragraph or something small that I write. I mean, it's a no-brainer, right, that the imagery draws people in to the article, but it's oftentimes you just don't take the time to do it. Last question I have for you, Claire, and thank you for spending time on these recommendations. Like I said, you guys, if you want to reach out to a personal branding expert, connect with Claire Bahn, B-A-H-N. It's what she does for a living, and I'm glad to have her here on the podcast and on Demand Gen TV to share it. How do you know when you're being successful? How do you measure success from a personal branding? You know, it's a strategy. It's a way of life. It's not something you can start and then stop. You have to be consistent with it, as you said. How would someone know if they're doing it right or even wrong for that matter, but want to know right?
I mean, I'll just talk from my own perspective. Mm-hmm. I literally, like we had a client that signed on with me recently, and he said he did a Google search about a particular topic. I came up first. He read my blog and he's like, the amount of information you give away on your blog. He's like, I knew I needed to work with you because you know your shit. Yeah. Hopefully I can say shit on here.
Yes, you can.
And
oh, wait, I'm late on the,
you know,
oh, I'm way too late. There it is. All right. Yeah, we didn't get that.
So that was a huge kind of like win for me. It's the people are resonating with the information that you're sharing.
Yeah.
That is a win. You have opportunities that come your way. I've been asked to be on panels, especially during the pandemic when everything was on Zoom, Zoom panels. The opportunity will be different, and you have to have a strategy that you use your personal brand to create these opportunities.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I mean, if I go back to kind of how I did it with acting, when I wanted roles, I'm like, okay, so I need to create photos that say I'm good in this role. Mm-hmm. This is how I look. Like if anyone else has done acting, you know, you have like your detective or cop photo. You have your, you know, young mom photo. You have, depending on what your age range is, right? And yeah, you have to be able, they have to be able to picture you as that.
Yeah.
So that's the whole goal of your personal brand is, if your goal is to be, you know, a TED speaker, I'm not talking TEDx, I'm talking TED. You have to show people that you can get on TEDx's, show that you can do these things, and you have to do it and prove it with your personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ultimately the success of it, is that you will see these things that are happening if you've aligned everything and strategized correctly to get there.
For great advice, I'll add this. For me, it's got to be intrinsic. You know, the road to having a successful podcast is met with many days, many weeks, even many months of practically no one listening to your podcast and finding it. And you have to have the stamina to go through that period of time when you're looking at the stats and going, okay, so my mom listened again today, and maybe five other people at work or what have you.
Right.
And you eventually create an audience and get an audience. So you got to do it because you really want to educate and inform, whether it's a meme or whether it's a podcast or whether it's a blog post or whatever form of content. And just do it because you love educating and informing people. And that gives you energy, just the satisfaction. Because eventually the day will come when someone comes up to you and goes, thank you so much for sharing that. That was really helpful to me.
Yeah.
Hopefully someone drops you a note and say, Claire, thank you for inspiring me to on the podcast, take that first step, or think about my photo or my banner or my title. Love it. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Thank everybody for joining us. I hope you enjoy the session. You know, let us know. Drop a note to Claire, to myself. If you want to ask a question, maybe you're struggling or you want us to take a look at your profile page and make any suggestions, feel free to hit either one of us up. Claire does a lot of things right, a really lot of things right, down to the level of even your logo. You know, you're very conscientious of how to take C and B and bring it into a nice circular logo that was very functional for online. So I'm very impressed with the work that you're doing, and I'm sure your clients are getting great value from it. All right, you guys, we will catch you guys on the next episode. Love to hear from you, and thank you so much for being part of the Demand Gen community. We'll see ya.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.